Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Back to Ecclesiastes, back to chapter 3, and the primary thrust of chapter 3 is to teach us that living in the light of eternity is the key to a fulfilling life on earth. Living in the light of eternity is the key to a fulfilling life on earth. In chapter 2, you recall that Solomon explored a number of avenues of life that people pursue in order to find fulfillment. And he found that none of them produce substantial fulfillment, significant fulfillment. Temporary happiness for a short time, and then it's gone. Unless, and this is the whole point, unless those same elements are handled in perspective, in God's perspective. In other words, with a life that is focused upon God, knowing Him, serving Him, honoring Him, subjugating everything in our lives to Him, giving Him priority. And when we live that way, then all of these same elements that could not produce fulfillment in and of themselves add richness to the fulfillment that is already there because we find our fulfillment in God. The things on earth cannot produce fulfillment in this world. But living in the light of eternity can produce fulfillment in this world, and then all of these other elements add a richness that otherwise may not be there. The very same things that cannot produce satisfaction, when they become the goal, they become the object of our satisfaction, add another layer of satisfaction to a life that is already fulfilled because God is the focus of that life. It's as simple as that. And if we could just get that in our minds and keep it there and never forget it, what a difference that would make. But the problem is that we are always being pulled back to an earthward orientation because everybody around us who is not putting God first in their lives is living for all of these things as if they're going to bring fulfillment. And there's always this pressure, there's always this expectation that we are going to do the same. And of course, the tug comes not only from the outside, our friends, our neighbors, the entertainment that we view, even something as simple as commercials on television, but there's also the lingering Adamic sinfulness within us that pulls us in the same direction. And so it is a constant battle to keep our focus upon God. But that's the key. And thank you for joining me on this Thursday, July 30. Thanks for remembering that we can only teach God's Word on this station by the help of your financial gifts. That is the key. And so if focusing upon God and keeping our focus there all the way throughout life, and that's what I mean by living in the light of eternity, I mean recognizing that eternity's forever, and we better have a right relationship with God now so that our eternity will be with Him and not in a place of condemnation, and furthermore, that our eternity with Him is going to be a as rich and full in eternity as possible, because there are degrees of reward in heaven, and there are different levels of responsibility in heaven. And there's a lot of things about heaven that we don't understand. In fact, there's a whole lot more that we don't understand than we do. But it is clear that we are preparing for heaven now while we're on the earth, and that we are able to send ahead investments in heaven from earth. But if we don't do that, then our experience in heaven is not going to be as rich as it would be otherwise. Now you say, break that down in detail so I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's what I can't do. I can only give you the general principles as I find them in the Bible, but I can't give you the details because the Bible doesn't give the details. So I can't tell you exactly how that's all going to work out, but this much I know, that if you will keep your heart and mind focused upon God and upon eternity, that what that's going to do is not only make your eternity better, and you really can make it better with what you do here upon the earth, but it's going to make your life here upon earth better too. Now that's pretty hard to beat. There are certain things that if you will do upon the earth, they will contribute to a better eternity. And since eternity is eternal, then doesn't it make sense to make your investments there, your greatest investments there, than upon the earth, which is temporary? And that's the whole point of Ecclesiastes. That's what this word vanity is that we keep running into over and over throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Well, as I think I pointed out some broadcasts ago, one way to translate that word is temporary, temporary, all is temporary, speaking about this world. This life, it's all temporary, it's all transient. And that's the problem. When you are investing all of your energy and focus and time and resources in getting a hold of things that are only temporary, you find, number one, that they don't really fulfill like you thought they were. And number two, what you've done is you have diverted attention away from eternity, where the investments are really going to pay off. If you'll make your investments there, they will pay off forever and ever and ever and ever and ever without end. And while you're doing that, you'll find that your life on earth will be more fulfilling too. Now, how's that for a bargain? How's that for a philosophy of life? And that's what I told you on the broadcast yesterday, that as much as anything, the book of Ecclesiastes is a book of philosophy. And don't let that word scare you off, because what it's doing is telling you how to forge a philosophy of life that is really going to pay off. Oh, I wouldn't be so carnal as to order my life in a way that's going to pay off. Why not? Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. If there wasn't something to that, he wouldn't have said it. You can lay up treasures in heaven. They're going to be there for you. Or what did Jesus mean when he said in the parable of the unjust steward? You remember that parable, don't you, about the steward who had been unfaithful with his master's goods, the responsibilities that had been given to him. A steward is kind of like a property manager. And he had been entrusted with the management of the owner's, shall we say, farm, his estate, his business. We don't know exactly what it was, but something that had been put into his trust by the owner. And the steward was tasked with the responsibility of managing that for the benefit of the owner. And this goes right along with what we're saying here, the truth is that if he did a good job, turned a good profit to the owner by managing his resources well, he would be richly rewarded for doing a good job. It's the same principle as getting a bonus from your employer. If you do a good job, you get a bonus. And it doesn't always happen, of course, because it has to do with how good a year the business had and so forth. But that's the principle involved. If everybody's doing a good job and makes the whole business operation prosper because everybody's contributing to the success of the business, then not only does that benefit the business owner, but it's going to benefit you because you're going to get a share of those profits. And so that's the way it works with stewardship. And yet this steward, instead of putting his master's interest first, put his own interest first and was somehow siphoning off his master's resources for his own benefit. And when the master found out, it was reported to the master that the steward was wasting his goods in some way. We don't know what he was doing with them. And so the master, you remember, called the steward into him, his office, I suppose. The Bible doesn't say office, but it's called him into account and said, I've had this report, and basically you're fired, but I'll give you till a week from Wednesday to clean up your office and clear out your accounts and so forth. And so the steward went to work. He still had the authority of stewardship for another week. And what did he do? He used it to pad his future. He contacted one of his lord's creditors and said, how much do you owe my master? And he told him, and he said, give me your bill, and he took it and slashed it in half. Gave him a 50% discount. And another one, he did the same thing and gave him a 20% discount. I don't know why the difference between the two. But what he was doing was ingratiating these debtors to his master so that when he was out of a job, he could go knocking on their door and get some help from them. And the master said, and this comes to where the application goes to the disciples, the master said that the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. He commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, the Bible tells us. He hadn't done righteously. He wasn't commending him for honesty, not for integrity, but for a measure of wisdom, worldly wisdom, dishonest wisdom, but nevertheless wisdom in that he utilized the resources that were available to him to pad his future as he knew it, which in his future, of course, was only here upon the earth. And then our Lord said this, make to yourselves friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. You do the same thing, except with eternity's values in view. You take the resources that God has entrusted into your care here upon the earth and use them to make investments in eternity, where when you arrive in heaven, those investments will welcome you home and will make your eternity richer than it would be otherwise. Another way of saying the same thing that Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Obviously, that can be done. So why don't we understand that and do it? May God help us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.